Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air with the mission to equip you in life and truth because life and truth matter. In our post-truth culture of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with truth has never been greater. Truth equips you to live life authentically in Christ, enabling you to strive with all His energy that He so powerfully works within you. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll be going to your calls in just a few moments, but I do want to mention watching Beto O'Rourke, or Robert Francis O'Rourke, pontificating that humans may have only 10 years left to save the planet. I was familiar with the 12 years, but now it's down to 10 years. But O'Rourke kind of reminded me of Al Gore, who in 2006 said almost precisely the same thing using precisely the same words. Now, the thing that's interesting about Gore is that was 2006. So 10 years, 2016. We know Gore was wrong. But for both, this is an extremely profitable enterprise. Not for the poor, but for the O'Rourkes and the Gores. For the poor, it's an entirely different story. If O'Rourke's policies are implemented, they will suffer mightily. I'm talking about the poor. Because energy costs are a basic human need, and if you increase those costs, those without the means to adapt will suffer terribly. So how do people like Beto, or Robert Francis, justify their claims? Well, they use that word, consensus. Think back to Gore, who in 1992 said that only an insignificant fraction of scientists deny the global warming crisis. He said, the debate's over, the science is settled, we now have consensus. But all of that was demonstrably false. In fact, 17 years later, Gore himself confessed that the debate over human-induced climate change had raged up until 1999. And this despite the fact that consensus seems to line the pockets of the consenters. You know, they get tenure, promotions, grants, and they become the darlings of the media. Well, let's go to the phone lines. First up is Charles, listening in Nashville, Tennessee, on the web. Hi, Charles.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime supporter of CRI. I love you, man.
Thank you, Charles.
In fact, we went on a cruise together about, gosh, 7-8 years ago, probably.
That has been a while ago.
Yeah, down to the Caribbean. Nice trip it was. I'm sorry that we lost Bot Radio. I was listening to you on there, but we lost it, and I have to go on the website to keep in touch.
Well, many, many people are doing that, and we're grateful.
Yeah. My question is, we were in Sunday school last week, and our pastor teaches our Sunday school class, and, you know, we all love him to death. He's great. He's wonderful. But during the discussion about mercy and grace, he made a statement just off the cuff. He said, you know, we all enjoy mercy and grace, but we all deserve hell. And that just didn't sit too well with me. I cannot honestly believe that he would believe or even say that. Do you honestly believe that we deserve hell, Hank?
Well, I think that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we get a true valuation of who God is, in his ineffability, in his purity, in his omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresent, in all of his majesty, then I think we're more open to the fact that we are but sinners and that we deserve to be separated from him. In fact, if you think about it, common sense dictates that without a hell, there's no need for a savior. And I have mentioned on this broadcast that little needs to be said about the absurdity of suggesting that the Creator would suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind if there were no hell to save us from. So without hell, there's no need for salvation. Without salvation, there's no need for sacrifice. Without sacrifice, there's no need for a savior. So as much as we may wish to think that all will be saved, common sense precludes the possibility. Because, as I said at the very beginning, quoting Scripture or paraphrasing Scripture, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the Savior is an indication of the great mercy and the grace of God.
It's just a hard concept to wrap my head around, my heart around.
Well, it is a hard concept, but let me say that there are so many things we can say. We can say that hell is God's great complement to the reality of human freedom and the dignity of human choice. So God has given us a choice either to live with him for all eternity, and that is a function of his mercy and grace, or by our own wills to be separated from him for all eternity. And I think that's a beautiful thing when you think about it, because God does not drag us kicking and screaming into his presence. There are a lot of people that don't want anything to do with God in this life, and God does not force himself on those people in the life to come. So God, by his mercy and grace, has opened the door to reconciliation. We are sinners, but God has reconciled sinners to himself, and that is his abundant, super abundant grace that makes it possible.
Yeah, I mean, just the idea that those people that you just mentioned, the ones who reject the Lord, just the idea that they would suffer eternally is just hard to grasp. You know?
Well, you have to understand that they already have an earnest of that in this life. And what I mean by that is those without the Lord in this life have empty lives, because God has created us in such a way that we have a vacuum that only he can fill. When God fills that vacuum, our lives are complete. When he does not, it is sort of a hell on earth. So we already suffer an earnest of what hell will be like. Hell is separation from the goodness, the glory, and the grace of God for all eternity. And it is that which people want. God does not send people to hell who want a relationship with him. He opens every door so that we can have a relationship with him. But if we don't want that relationship, if we want to be separated from God, he is not a cosmic rapist that forces himself on people, either in this life or in the life to come.
Well, that, yeah, everything you said makes perfect sense. And thank you.
You got it. Yeah, and of course, why do I believe in hell? Well, I believe in hell because if you read the Scriptures, you have to believe in hell. The Scriptures are so clear about the reality of hell. Jesus spoke oftentimes about hell. And if Jesus spoke about hell, he said, for example, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Just one example where Jesus is using prophetic hyperbole to demonstrate just how awful it would be to be separated from him in this life and in the life to come. There are obviously millions of people that are experiencing it in this life, but it is a function of their will. Those who sincerely seek after God will, in fact, find him. God has created human agency for that reason, but there are many other ways in which God can reach people as well. We are coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information on the web. The resources available for those who support the ministry can be found there, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments. Please don't touch that dial.
Fatal torment, empty tomb, appearances of Christ, transformation. These four witnesses prove the resurrection of Christ, the central truth of Christianity, and our only hope of heaven. Hank's book, The Third Day, examines the historical facts in depth to help you defend your faith and rejoice in your own coming resurrection. The Third Day is our thank you for your gift today to help produce more Bible Answer Man broadcasts and other truth-affirming CRI resources. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to request your copy today. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI. or visit equip.org now. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we will go right back to the phone lines. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Next up, Bob, listening in Atlanta, Georgia on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bob.
Yes, hello, Hank. I have a question for you. I listened to a sermon recently by Adam Hamilton, and it was right after the United Methodist General Conference where they had the vote on same-sex marriage. And he was, I noticed he never refers to the Bible as the Word of God. And it was interesting today. He said Satan is quoted in the Bible. So does that mean Satan is in the Word of God? I thought that was dreadful. But my question was, he also said this was his justification for interpreting Scripture as far as the homosexuality issue. He said, well, Jesus argued with the Pharisees about Scripture, and Paul argued with the Jews about Scripture. So that, you know, gives us license to interpret the Bible as we see fit as well.
Well, you know, he's just dead wrong. The Bible is inerrant. He denies inerrancy. But if you actually do the hard work, if you look at the manuscript evidence or the archaeological evidence or the prophecies in Scripture, or you look at scriptural synergy, you see that the Bible has to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And I'll just give you one example. The people, the places, the particulars that are codified in papyrus and parchment are buttressed by credible external evidences as well. So you can also have a science of textual criticism and be absolutely certain through that science that the biblical text authentically recapitulates the words of the original writers. So, you know, you have a Bible inspired by God, and you know it's inspired because if it were not inspired, there would be all kinds of mistakes. Now, people like Hamilton have for years tried to point out mistakes in the Bible. But when you actually look at what they're pointing out, you find out that the mistakes have proven not to be mistakes. On further examination or archaeological evidence, we find out that the canards that they raise are simply objections that don't have any basis in reality. I actually wrote a whole book on this subject. It's called Has God Spoken? So the first half of the book demonstrates that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. The second half of the book teaches people how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. Because when people like Hamilton come along, they don't have a grasp for reading the Bible rightly. And therefore, they will take metaphors or they will take statements that Jesus made. They'll take them out of the proper context, or they won't be reading Scripture in light of Scripture, and therefore make Christ a false apocalyptic prophet or something. I mean, that's about as bad as it gets, but something like that. But it's the fact that they, you know, so for example, in the Olivet Discourse, a great example, where you have these skeptics, they look at the Olivet Discourse, and they say Jesus believed that his second coming would be within a generation. He did not come within a generation, and therefore Jesus was a false apocalyptic prophet. This is just a general example. Well, the truth of the matter is, when Jesus talked about coming on clouds, he was not talking about riding a cloud chariot. He was using the language of the Old Testament writers, language that we ought to be familiar with, to make a point in the New Testament, which related in the Olivet Discourse to the destruction of the temple, his coming in judgment as opposed to his second coming. So they mistake the language of Scripture, and then they blame Scripture for being full of errors. Again, just an example, but there are so many in my book, Has God Spoken, demonstrating that these people are simply bereft of their proper reasoning when it comes to the scriptures. And why? Because they want to, in the 21st century, establish something that has never been established before, meaning God says that marriage is between a man and a woman. They want to say, no, marriage is not between a man and a woman. That's outdated. We now have a far better way of looking at things, or with transgenderism. Well, we now believe that if someone feels like they're trapped in the wrong body, what we ought to do is remake that body. And so they put kids through the most horrendous physical pains in order to try to make their body match their particular transient voice and feeling with respect to gender. So these are people who want to rewrite scripture, who think they're smarter than God, smarter than Jesus Christ, and so they're coming up with their own interpretations.
How would you counter that, where he said, well, Jesus argued scriptures clearly had some points that were points of contention, because Jesus was arguing with the Pharisees and Paul was debating Jews.
Sure, because they misunderstood the scriptures. To their own demise, they misunderstood the scriptures. And so Paul is explaining the scriptures very much like I just did with the Olivet Discourse. Jesus is doing the same thing. You misunderstand the scriptures, Jesus said to the Pharisees, and now he's giving them a true valuation of things, and oftentimes saying you should have known better anyway. The reason you misunderstand the scriptures is because you want to follow your own traditions. There are holy traditions, but there are also human traditions, and the Pharisees were following human traditions. So Jesus is setting the record straight. And Jesus can do that because he's the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, but he's also the inspiration for scripture itself.
Great. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it, Bob. Thanks for your call. Karen in Cheyenne, Wyoming, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Karen. Well, that doesn't sound good. Karen, are you there? Let me see if I can get back to Karen in a minute. I want to say something anyway about something I was talking about at the opening of the show. Excuse me, which is that there are so many people on this climate change bandwagon. And of course, there's always climate change. Climate has always changed. The question is it catastrophic? Well, there was an evangelical climate initiative. Many people signed that. There are over 86 evangelical leaders that did originally. But the question is, just because 86 people sign an initiative, does it mean that what they're signing is really efficacious for the poor, efficacious for society? And I would argue that they had their eye on the wrong ball. Because for about $200 billion, we could have provided clean water to those areas of the world that presently have contaminated water. We ought to be concerned about such things. The very fact that people don't have fresh water, or that there's malaria in Africa. And the truth of the matter is, money spent on one thing is money you cannot spend on another thing. And the takeaway is that if we allocate billions of dollars to try to reduce the emissions in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and by the way, when people talk about carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, most of the time they don't know what they're talking about. They don't realize what it is that CO2 does in the atmosphere. So they're simply talking based on talking points, not talking based on understanding. But at any rate, if you allocate billions, or now, as some are calling for, trillions, or 100 trillion or more, to try to reduce the emissions in carbon dioxide, that is money that is not going to get spent on developing technology for clean water. for reducing malaria. And there are lots of very basic environmental problems. We're talking about health problems, poverty problems, that we ought to, as Christians, focus on. And yet virtually all of our moral and psychic energy is focused on catastrophic predictions. And I can tell you, just as I did with Y2K, I put my credibility on the line, the credibility of the ministry on the line. I said Y2K would not be a big problem. It was based on sensationalism and sophistry and selling. And virtually every major evangelical Christian leader was against what I was saying. I wrote a book called The Millennium Bug Debugged. But that had a termination date. So we could tell after the year 2000, or at the embryonic stage of the year 2000, whether or not what they were saying was true or false. Unfortunately, in this case, you have to kind of wait the people out, like we did with Al Gore. Found out that what he was saying was false. 10 years later, his prediction didn't come to pass. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be back here tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.